G'day, welcome to the OM Podcast, our Wiz podcast all about the mobile industry. Today, my name is Keith today, and I'm joined by...
Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
Yeah, I told you the accent would come in. G'day, that's why I don't introduce with g'day. That person over there is Peter. Hi, Peter.
Oh, blimey.
Blimey, it's been a while since we've done a podcast together.
Time a podcast down sport.
This is what happens when you do a podcast in the morning and there's coffee and everybody's really hypo. Joining us also, Peter, is...
The CEO Vong, Marketing Manager.
Cool. I like this way. I don't have to remember pronunciations of names. Welcome back, Lucia. You've been with us many times.
Yeah, so I'd hope you could pronounce my name.
No, I can.
Today.
Yeah. Your name's quite easy. And also joining us for the first time in the ever is...
Rob Smith.
From The Cure.
Yes, apparently so.
I said I'd do it.
Good day in my British accent. Yes, as well as being from The Cure, I also am the account manager here at Outwear Mobile, working with our customers, working on their strategies, and making sure they're happy.
Managing the accounts?
That's right.
And in a previous life, Rob, what did you do?
Well, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Rob was a Jedi.
I was on my voting form. I used to make TV programs and also work with content online. So about 12, 13 years ago, I started with a company first putting content through IP, working on 56K modems where, let's face it, video was a bit low quality back then, right up until, as we see it today, with multi-screen and watching stuff on your tablet and your phone and so on.
That's all. Any TV shows that we know about?
I worked on one called Wild Spirits, which is an extreme sports TV show that was sold throughout the globe through BBC Worldwide and is also shown on Sky Sports in the UK.
Oh, that's really cool and very British, which, you know, comes back to The Cure. So I didn't know that about you. You learned something. It took a podcast to just get that out of Rob. Today, there's a growing trend. Peter, you look like you said you wanted to say something. Did you want to say something, Peter? All right.
Not at all.
So there's a growing trend towards this whole second screen kind of thing, or as they like to be called, companion screens. There's, you know, where you've got a second or a third, or in our case, I think we've got about five electronic companion devices that are going to, you know, help you do what it is that you're trying to do, whether it's watching TV or whether you're shopping or driving an automobile car. Yeah, it's quite a growing trend, and we all thought that it was a good thing to sit around and discuss. So I think I sort of described it quite well. But Rob, did I miss anything? Is there something else that sort of describes this whole trend?
Well, I think it's important to look at this as multiple different things that are related. So you're looking at content strategy and how you manage that across either one screen or two screens. Whether it's multitasking, people looking at TV and their mobile or whatever at the same time, but also just using that to engage other people through when the TV show's not on, keeping them engaged with that brand and that style.
So you're picking on TV a lot here. Is it mostly TV? It's like, people around the table, what sort of multi-screen experiences have we had? Kind of thing. It's because I know I use my phone a lot when I'm watching TV.
Yeah, apparently a lot of people do. So there's some research. Well, there's a lot of research done by research companies like Roy Morgan and stuff, but also by Google that shows how much time we use other devices while we're in front of the TV. And I guess that must be because when you're in front of the TV, people feel like they're not as productive, so they want to make the most of their time. So they use their laptop or their smartphone or their tablet to kind of do more. What's really interesting about the research that Google did is that it shows what type of activities you do on the different types of devices, and also shows whether it's sequential or simultaneous. Like a lot of people are using their smartphones first while they're watching TV to socialize, so, you know, posting on social media or commenting about the shows that they're watching. They use their laptops and computers to do more research about something, so if they're planning a trip or something more detailed, and they use their tablet for extra entertainment.
I watch YouTube on my tablet a lot.
While you're watching
TV. It's a really expensive YouTube device that I haven't started the timer on yet.
I have three categories of TV shows that I watch. A category is you have my complete attention. We're talking about Breaking Bad,
The Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, The Bachelor. And then I got my B-grade shows that are, like, pretty good, and they have a bit of my attention, but I have my phone there. And then I have – but I'll watch them, and then if I get bored, I'll, like, go to my phone. And
see, for me, that would be something I've seen before, like Iron Chef or Futurama.
That could be one. And then there's C-grade, which is just – you just hear the audio and you're, like, pretty much full time.
See, that's where I would put The Bachelor, but you know, each to their own, I guess.
Strokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great show.
I guess when you've been on the show, you have much more interest in the show.
That is right.
But don't you think, like, some shows command that you use your smartphone to tell other people about what's happening? Mm. And, like, either
that's a really
the
cheesy
Bachelor
trend. Yeah.
Or
they put a hashtag up at the bottom, just like, hey, tweet about this show.
Well, there's what the TV programs want you to do, which is to tweet and so they can show it. But there's also what you want to do to tell your friends to, hey, you better watch this because this is hilarious and it's not supposed to be hilarious. That's the best one.
This is so
bad. Do you remember
bad
when Hey Hey It's Saturday came back for a weekend and they broke Twitter?
Did they really?
Yeah, because Daryl Summers, like, got some ad man to help him out with the social medias. And then he was, like, doing his usual thing. And he was like, oh, and hashtag, hey, hey. And then it was like, the number one trending thing on Twitter. For
really?
A day.
Yeah. I would hashtag
worldwide. Yeah.
Pluck a Duck was my favorite. Probably close. That was my A grade. And then
hashtag gong him red.
Gong him. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's something shows are keen to do is build that brand through that sort of integration with social media. I think I haven't looked at your Google stats, but stats would show that the millennials and the younger people are more likely to engage with social media around a TV program.
Yeah, I don't.
The youth?
I don't tend to do it. I'm not like, I'm jaded. You see what that chick just did?
I actually find if I watch a TV program that's very spoiler heavy, something like Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones,
yeah,
I have to avoid social media if I miss it on the first night that it's out.
Yeah, because there's always those people in your feed that are like, oh my God, I won't say anything, but when you see it, you will know. And you're like, yeah, I know what just happened. You just ruined everything.
When you see that Darth Vader is Luke's father, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I don't want to say too much.
But what do you think they're trying to achieve, Rob? Like,
I think you're looking at two things. So if that's brand related, then and I'd certainly look like your marketing opinion on this. But with brand related stuff, that's going to increase the chance of getting better sponsorship, better advertising around it, and also you're not just selling a TV program. You're selling everything around that. You're selling the Bazinga t-shirts and so on. One of the examples is there was discussion around The Simpsons. Just a quick run around. Who still watches The Simpsons?
Me.
No. Nope.
Yeah, I do.
You watching the latest episodes, new series?
Yeah.
Just when it's on, when I see it.
So one of the things they realized is not as many people are watching. It's been going for something like 26 years. Not as many people are watching it anymore, but they can still produce TV shows purely because it helps solidify all the other stuff they sell, all the Bart Simpson dolls, the Tapped Out game, and all that other stuff that's related to that, where they're really making the revenue now. So that almost like the show has just become the thing to remain keeping that brand so going, it's rather than all that peripheral stuff, which is actually making the money.
It's just a vehicle for merchandising, basically.
Yeah. If that's what it's
or
become.
Licensing.
It's gone back to the land of Ninja Turtles.
But I just want to point out that it's not like The Simpsons have sold out.
They didn't have anything to sell.
They've been selling out from the beginning.
Quinchy
remember
bone.
When... I think we all had a Don't Have a Cow t-shirt. And then Bart used to be on Doritos or something like that. Yeah. Oh, no. It was an American chocolate bar.
You'd go to the Royal Show and you'd get your Simpsons show bag.
Yeah, it was all about selling out. That's the core. It's written into the DNA.
So is this just the money. Same thing but with technology now?
Well, I think there's two different things. One is the brand of the show itself, which, you know, as Rob said, the shows themselves don't make the money from the thing we watch. From other stuff. But then there's also the TV stations, and the TV stations need to make money from people watching the shows. So how they're doing that is they're trying to bring social media, I think a little bit unsuccessfully at the moment, but it's a bit immature. I think that they can do it. It's going to take some time, but basically if we look at examples in Australia at the moment, like Channel 7, earlier in the year when I think the tennis was on, around, or even I think this was last year, they launched Fango, which is their own social media platform, which was to encourage people to discuss their TV shows. Now, the problem that I see with it is we already have lots of social media that we use. Why would I sign up to another one specifically to comment on Channel 7 shows when I can comment on Channel 7 shows on Twitter?
Yeah, they didn't really get it, did they?
Wait, so Fango's just for Channel 7?
Yeah, it is.
Really? Oh, that's
like, I think you can use it, but everything that it's about is to try and get people to talk about their TV shows. And they're hoping that the more people talk about it, the more people will watch it. I'm not sure that that has worked successfully for them because I haven't seen Fango being promoted as much recently as it was at the beginning.
Can I ask a question? So we're no longer really so much involved with linear TV. A lot of stuff's on demand. Now, when you had linear TV and you had less channels, what you had was the water cooler moment where people in an office would go to the water cooler, they'd fill up their cups and they'd ask, you know, chat about what they did the night before and what they watched.
Oh, my God, like, did you see Home and Away last night?
Yeah, that great, great show. And that's where you get that social interaction, which would get people on board to watching the next episode.
If everyone else is talking about it, you have to watch it. And get people. Yeah, I've been trying to use peer pressure to get other people to watch TV shows that I'm watching at work, and but we don't have a water cooler, so how do we do it then if we don't have a water cooler?
Podcast.
Everybody, watch Home and Away with me.
So, do you think that John's trying to recreate that water cooler moment, but now communities are fragmented, and it's not so much the people you work with as your community globally that you discuss through?
I don't think they're trying to recreate that. I think what they're trying to do is get more advertising. Because that's what makes the money for the channel, I mean, for the TV stations. So their business goal is to increase viewership so that they can get more advertising or better advertising. And therefore, their way to do that is to get people to watch it. And they think that if we engage social media, more people will watch TV.
Is it just another metric for to give to advertisers? To say, like, okay, well, our Nielsen ratings weren't crash hot, but we got like a million people on Twitter to use the hashtag.
Yeah, maybe.
I just have a correction on Fango. There are other channels.
Yeah.
So it's not as horrible as we first pointed out.
But it's a...
But has anyone used Fango?
No.
Yeah, I haven't used it.
I've
the
never
ads
heard
just
of
look
it.
Too polished for me. It's like you could have a perfect life and sit on your perfect couch with your perfect wife and use our perfect app.
Is that really the ad?
Yeah.
Now I want to use that
app. It's
pretty
much like that.
In fact, I'm going to download Fango while we're talking and start playing with it.
What do you think about content? Like, what do you guys think about how content has changed with the fact that, you know, people now know that you're going to be on multiple screens?
Yeah, I don't think I can... I really struggle to sit down and watch normal, regular, like, free-to-air TV just because it's so... disjointed and so shouty and so quick and short and just like I don't know if it's always been like that, and I've just gotten used to watching, you know, shows on like in box sets or and stuff like that, but it's just such a horrible experience now.
So maybe it's worth sort of stripping that down into the content strategies of different shows and then which ones lend themselves or try and lend themselves more to a second screen and which don't. So if you look at, for example, game shows or maybe X Factor, where you can encourage audience participation by voting, and there's a lot of, if you like, lag time in something like X Factor where they cut to what that person's been doing for the last week.
Yeah.
They've been petting puppies.
Yeah.
And you've got that time to integrate other stuff going on, have extra commentaries going on and so on. And then you can also take that up to a lot of shows around the world. Now we're seeing a trend for if you follow this show, you can win prizes too by answering questions. So it's almost interactive in that way. So you've got that level, I think. And then you've got a second level, which would be sport, which you can add commentaries to, you can add other statistics to, and so on. And then I think you're going to be looking at the TV programs like dramas. And there you're going to have two content strategies, one that designs lag, one that says, we know people are going to get distracted, so we're going to make sure we repeat the same conversation three times so that if you missed it, you'll be able to catch up. And you'll also have the shows like Game of Thrones that says, you know what, if you're distracted and you miss this, tough, that's your problem. You're going to probably have to rewind and watch it.
Read the book.
Read the book. Or in the case of Australia, download it.
That's actually the numbers. Actually, do you think that the, like, going back a little way to where the main money for The Simpsons is made from merchandising and things that aren't the actual show, do you think that's a kind of side effect to the fact that a lot of people now are saying, I'm just going to get this show in the easiest way possible and I'm going to download it? So they're not going to make a lot of money, as much money as watching from people watching the actual show. Do you think that's kind of a side effect to it, that they're sort of TV show makers are branching out?
I think so. Well, if you look at the recent season of The Simpsons, they had a full Lego episode.
Sponsored by the Lego movie.
Yeah, a completely dedicated Lego episode.
Did they sing the Everything is Awesome song?
No. They might as well have. It wasn't too bad. It was kind of like interesting content, and it was an interesting way to advertise. Mm-hmm. And I noticed last week they had a Family Guy crossover episode, which is just, you know, I kind of want to see it, but it's they're really sort of,
it's like rappers. You can't have just one rapper in a song now. They're always featuring some other rapper. So it's like that. The Simpsons featuring Family Guy.
I also think it's to do with like, well, the way that mobiles change the consumer is that we expect things to be available when we want, not when, you know, brands dictate to us that you need to watch this at 7:30 on a Friday night or whatever. So we, like you said, Pete, you know, we watch box sets or we watch whole seasons at a time instead of waiting for it to come out every week or...
binge watching.
Whatever suits us, it's your choice, and we kind of expect that from you know, entertainment now. That
I can't watch a single episode of Scrubs. I have to watch three or four in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's good. I'm like, oh, that was really good. I want to watch another one because they're nice and short, especially if you buy the box set and there's no ads, which is what I do. You mentioned sporting events earlier on this year. I think that's a really big area for the whole second screen trend that's really pushing, and it's actually doing quite a good job, in my opinion.
Yep.
Because you can watch your sports on TV and you'll have all your stats and things like that, and you can have this big Twitter conversation, oh, that umpire's blind. I want to do a big Twitter search and see how many times people have said umpires are blind during a sports game.
I read an article recently which was really interesting because of the recently it was AFL Grand Final. There's a moment when the Grand Final starts when the whole of Australia kind of drops in internet usage for a moment, and then it picks up again because everyone is watching.
That's the engagement
final.
Levels of Australia's 5 minutes, and then picks back up again.
Yeah, well, it is. It's an interesting.
The race that stops internet traffic briefly.
I heard a story once. This is not confirmed at all, but after the royal wedding, there was a brownout, a massive countrywide brownout in England because everyone turned the kettles on to make a cup of tea.
I don't know the truth on that, but certainly we have certain shows in the UK that are very, very popular soap operas and have an advert break halfway through. And the power, the national power grid actually has to, they've now prepared for that advert break because genuinely the amount of kettles that go on
they
have to ramp up to sort of double, triple the amount of power that's going to be used for that.
And we're talking 240 volts here. This isn't some 120 Yankee Doodle Dandy power outlet kettle. This is the real deal.
You have boiling water
real quick.
And us Brits love our tea. So
oh, lovely. I love a cup of tea. But
let's go back
then
to
Then you also
sports.
Have to heat up the water for your weekly bath.
The family bath.
Like you said, Keith, like I think in terms of second screen experiences, sports are probably leading the charge at the moment because they know how to make the most out of the different devices that you have, and they know kind of the types of information that their fans want.
Mm. Well, our amazing cricket app is a really good example of that because cricket Let's face it. Without beer.
Yeah.
It'd be a pretty boring game.
I used to watch cricket with my grandfather, and kid you not, they would start filming a wedding that was happening outside of the ground across the street.
I remember that.
Richie Benn would be like, lovely wedding. There. Yeah. And there's the bride. Very nice. And oh, someone did something in cricket. Never mind. He's he's a seagull for the
but
next
with
10
the apps. I'm going to turn this around. Don't worry. With all the social stuff in there and all the conversations that are happening, it actually makes the game more enjoyable and more engaging.
Yeah, it
does. Whereas before, we'd be cutting to the wedding, the wedding coverage. But now the commentator's going, check out the hashtag 2for22 on Twitter.
This is just a vehicle for Peter and I to do voices.
if we take that experience and if you look at what's going to be happening with Etihad Stadium, where they're going to connect it all up and you're going to have screens in every seat, so you're watching a live concert or you're watching a live sporting event, but you've got an inbuilt screen in your seat in front of you that you can interact with. How do you see that working? What do you see getting from that? A similar experience or different?
I like to imagine a future where we're all just sort of plugged into our chairs and and you don't even need the players there. You can just focus on the back of the head of the person in front of you.
You project it.
Yeah. Are they really doing that?
Yeah.
That's really
cool. And
it's
not confidential?
No, that's what they're actually, the exact detail of what's going into that those devices is unknown, but there's suggestions that you might be able to order your beer. Now, that's going to be interesting because that's going to have a lot of people running up and down trying to serve beer and hot dogs, I guess.
But that's good.
It'll create
movie
jobs.
Cinemas can't do that properly. How's a sporting stadium?
In Japan, they have beer girls that have like beer keg backpacks.
Really?
And they walk around and they shoot beer into your cup.
Maybe there's a premium service for the
they're so light years ahead of us.
Asia is actually way ahead of the rest of the world in terms of multi-screen experiences. They're at like 70 something percent when the rest of the world's under 50% of people.
So what can we learn from them? What are they doing better?
That's a good question.
The whole of Asia.
They're much more connected in general, and I think that what's interesting about what you were talking about, Rob, in the stadium is, so we have this screen that's inbuilt into our environment. Will we still use our smartphones? I think we will. And how will we use that? And how will that connect to the screen in front of us? And how does that connect to the experience of what you're there for? Like, will we get too distracted? Will we just be on our phone and the screen in front of us ordering beer?
Yeah. If we're busy watching the worm, are we watching the game? In fact, I was at an AFL game the other week and I was just playing around with the AFL app because I like to just sort of play around with toys that we've built. And
toys.
I actually missed a goal because I was too busy.
I worked pretty hard on that app.
A lot of my life went into that toy.
No,
play around on it. Yeah, play around on the toy.
Don't take it seriously.
And, you missed a goal. Do a play on the toy.
Sorry, Rob. Go on.
That's quite
welcome
all right.
To your first show, Rob. You've got Pete and Keith.
Oh man.
I was at an NBL game right before I.
That's very
NBL funny. It's good sports.
What is it?
Is it still
when they
around?
When they get American players, there's lots of dunks. Oh, and it gets very exciting. So this was when I was leaving Perth. So my friends took me to an NBL game to watch the Perth Wildcats completely thwomp Sydney.
With Andrew Gaze playing.
Andrew, you're a couple of years
I'm a 90s NBL fan.
Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, they were all there. But I found I was spent at the start of the game, everybody had their phones up and you could tell they were all tweeting at the NBL and hashtagging something. Even my friend was doing it. And then throughout the game, I was looking at the scoreboard a lot because I was really interested in the stats. So I actually didn't spend a lot of time watching the players on the court and more time looking at this second screen and just going, oh, this is very interesting. And every now and then I'll go, oh, that's right, I'm actually here. And then, you know, you hear the cheering.
Was the scoreboard, did it have a TV in it? Or was it just
It did
stats?
Have replays and things. Yes, Perth has a TV in their scoreboard. It's a new stadium. Don't look at it from the outside,
it's
though.
Like it's an old CRT.
If you look at, talking of sports, if you look at something like college football, which has thousands of games on in the US and is really popular and followed, you have some apps that have the right to just pull any interesting things like the goals or whatever. And within a minute or two of that actually happening, they've managed to secure the rights to that footage automatically and get that onto the app. So rather than watching hundreds and hundreds of games, you're just constantly being fed all the highlights, which is quite nice. And talking to the US, they did for the US Open Golf, there was a nice interaction that got a massive amount of usage with questions for people to answer on some of the players. And I'm assuming there was some sort of prize at the end, but a huge amount of viewers, a lot more than they were originally expecting, got involved in that, just interacting with the game during the boring bits, I guess.
I think golf is a really good example of where second screen stuff would be really effective, because you're essentially just watching Sky for 80% of the time.
The wedding across the road. Yeah. I mean, Luce, you had an interesting story about a Kia tennis app that was brought out to help people get more engaged with the tennises.
Yeah. I mean, so this is around advertising. I think advertising it needs to and is changing because of all the screens we have and the way that we're distracted. So because people aren't as glued to the TV as we used to be, and we can get distracted by our second screens, I guess advertisers realise that during the ad breaks, instead of changing the channel, we just look at a different screen, which, you know, obviously isn't as effective for them. So Kia did a really interesting and I think pretty good app during the tennis this year, so the Australian Open, and they essentially created an ad where they asked you to download an app, and they got a tennis player to serve at you in the ad, and you would return the serve using your app. And it was a competition, which is great because it's engaging. It's like, oh, I have to wait for this ad. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to try and return this serve as best I can, still like a week.
Keeps you thinking about the tennis, even though the tennis is not on.
Yeah, and the funny story is I talked to the developers of this app, and they said, you know, they got a complaint from this kid that he'd thrown his phone into the TV and broke his TV. And then they didn't really know what to do about that because it's not something they expected to happen.
Neck minute, broken TV, one star.
Yeah, exactly.
My son threw his phone into the TV.
But anyway, it's a really great way to engage people, I think.
By throwing your phones into TVs?
Yeah.
Yeah,
get
definitely.
Back to one screen.
He was down to zero screens after that.
Soon we're going to have straps from our phone to our wrist so it doesn't go flying.
It's the Nintendo answer to the you throw your
also
control into something.
The iPod Touch had a beautiful strap.
Did it really?
It did.
Yeah, but it didn't make its way to the iPhone 6 though.
Yeah, weird.
I was a bit upset.
An anti-bend strap. Ooh, I'm relevant. Well, that's... I mentioned Nintendo, so I'm awkwardly and blatantly segueing into video games a bit. Video games can't... Like, they have load times and they're boring, and I used to be able to sit through a really big long load time where it would read off little diskettes and make that little diskette noise.
Diskettes?
Little diskettes?
Floppy disks. 3.5-inch floppy disks.
Were you playing Commander Keen?
Yes, I did. But when you'd load them, they take forever. But I used to be able to sit through that.
Yeah.
And now if I'm playing something today and it's got to talk to a server and, oh my God, I have to wait 5 seconds for it to talk to a server, I've lost interest and I'm on my phone.
I address that in a new way. From now on, if I turn on my PS3, because I play it sort of once a month, and there's always tons of updates, so I just pretend the game is the update game, and I sit there and just wait for the progress bar to fill, and when it gets to the end, I go, yay! And I turn it down.
Turn it off.
Turn it off, and that's then next month, I play the progress bar game again. But they've addressed those issues with the PS4, so maybe I'll get one of those.
Because they've just stopped supporting the PS3.
But it's every time I go to play something, it's always just like
the
game. How about this mandatory update? Okay.
Yeah, there's a reason I don't have consoles anymore.
Cup of tea, and then all of a sudden you get a brownout situation.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone turns on their PS3 and cup of tea, and then the royals are married. But video games are bringing out companion apps now as well. They all want to have their own companion apps.
Well,
don't they?
Nintendo, most notably, I think they're doing companion apps on iOS, if I could speak properly. which is quite interesting because they obviously don't have anything out in the market, like, because they're staying away from the thing that's killing, you know, most of their revenue.
Yeah, the mobile.
Mobile devices. Too. But they've finally got on board, and I think they're doing, you know, like cool companion apps.
So
for
what does
the,
it do? Like, what's the companion app do?
Well, I know all about Pokemon, so...
I love Pokemon.
Just waiting for Bandy to jump in here. I don't know. It could be like a guide. It could be... I don't have any actual... Do you know anything about
for Pokemon
the Nintendo companion stuff?
If I was going to do a Pokemon's companion app... yeah, I would make it a Pokedex.
Pokedex.
I mean, my first second screen video games was the little LCD screen in my Logitech keyboard, which gives you extra stats on the games you're playing.
Your first experience?
Yeah. Well, that I can
remember.
When
was that? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, no.
Mate, my first second screen experience was in a Nintendo Game & Watch.
I had one of them. 1983. Would you consider that a second screen? Just because there's
two screens. There's two screens. One, two. Count them. Second screen experience.
All right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Game & Watch. That game was awesome. I want to bring it back.
So good.
I'm going to start writing that. But, I mean... Everything is trying to head towards, we want to pick up your engagement when we can't. And we know when you're not watching us, you're on your phone, you're on your tablet and that kind of thing. Do you think that they're getting it right? Do you think that any of these mediums can do anything better? Or do we have better ideas?
Absolutely. It can always be better. And it's still just really, really new stuff. I think from a UI perspective, it's interesting to see with like material design and iOS 8, how we're just sort of, for each device, we're just creating like a different view of the same content. Mm-hmm. So we're just sort of looking at it in a different perspective. And I think that's sort of come out. I mean, if you look around us now, there's so many screens on the table, like a tablet clock, we've got a TV running, everybody has a laptop and a phone. I think we just always want to see whatever it is, the content just on whatever size screen, whether it's, yeah.
What do you think around the concept of TV Anywhere, which is at most a theory that we'd love to see depending on content rights and so on. So you're watching a TV show, you're watching Breaking Bad on the train home on your phone, then you get home and you swipe your screen, it passes it up to your TV, remembers exactly where you left off, carries on watching it. You got to go out, so you pull it back down onto your phone, and that's the hard bit. So through the passing up, you can do maybe through Chromecast or something like that, or there are some sort of clever situations.
Yeah,
like
I mean, technically, I can do that right now with Plex, but I find every time I try to be fancy and watch a TV show on the train or something, it never quite streams the right way, or my server will die at home or something like that. So I've kind of given up on that. I've done it a few times and I feel like, you know, a total whiz kid when it actually works. Or, but yeah, I think even just with like AirPlay and stuff, when you're listening to a song in your headphones and you come home, it'd be cool if it automatically went, oh, you're home. You can do it with Bluetooth, but not AirPlay.
Yeah, there's ways to sort of cobble these things together, but
it's not
clunky.
Mainstream right now. There isn't a way to just go, okay, all this stuff works.
It's a lot of work to get it working. I have Plex as well, and I if I want to watch something on my tablet, which is getting a bit old and long in the tooth and can't stream wireless very well anymore, I just connect to my actual media server just via like a Samba share.
Yeah.
And I just copy the actual file onto my tablet. Works perfectly. Streams great all throughout the train. It's just streaming on
the hard
drive.
You can actually do that on Plex. You can... you might need Plex Pass.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, but you can download it to your device.
I don't need Plex to get access to my own media.
Do you think HomeKit will do, like, is on the way to trying to do this?
Yeah, and Apple's doing that whole sequential screen thing where you can receive a phone call on your laptop and then sequentially pass it off to your phone and actually talk on the phone like a normal person.
Yeah, actually, that's a second screen experience we haven't really talked about, is when you're on your computer and your smartphone, what it does. And obviously both Google and Apple this year have tried to make it as seamless as possible.
Yeah,
and
they're blurring those lines.
Yeah. Do you think, in a way, it kind of gets rid of the need for your second, like for your phone?
Well, I don't have a home phone anymore.
Well, for your smartphone, let's say, because if I'm on my computer and I can take phone calls and I can answer text messages, do I even need to look at my phone anymore?
Well, yeah, because you can't hold your laptop up to your face.
But do you need to?
Watch
if
me.
They improve the... If I can just talk from sitting where I am.
It's weird. From a consumer point of view, that's what it looks like. But, I mean, from Google's point of view, from their perspective, the phone is the center of all their sort of second screen experiences and that kind of thing. So, I mean, the phone is still the thing that has the SIM card. It has all the plan and everything on it. And that's the thing that's actually doing the phone call bit. And what it's doing then is just proxying out to your laptop. Mm. So I think it's still needed, but you'll start to have those thoughts where you go, hang on, I'm answering my phone on my laptop. Do I really need my phone anymore?
That's just interesting how you're saying the phone is the center, because if you look at a Chromebook, it is definitely a keyboard and a screen type thing and a way to get...
It's definitely that, yeah.
Yeah, but and not much else, you know. It's just a way to get to the internet in sort of a nicer, more familiar form factor.
Yeah, it's a consumption device.
Yeah.
It's also a level of comfort. Like if you're at home... Because I use instant messaging a lot, I actually find it's a lot easier to chat when you're typing than it is to swipe or tap in something on your smartphone.
Yeah. I try to use the voice commands every now and then. And it's just so frustrating if you're trying to do this big, long thing and you get it wrong.
Yeah.
I still get frustrated now because WhatsApp isn't on my iPad. And I'll be on my iPad and I'll get a message and I'll be like, oh, I'll just load up WhatsApp on my iPad, and it isn't there.
It's not there.
It's linked to your phone number, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on the opposite side, you said it's sort of going through the phone. I use Skype a lot, chatting to the people in the UK, sort of friends and family. And on the train, I'll be using Skype, and then I get home, and then I open up the laptop. I have to disconnect one call and reconnect another to go back to the laptop. But again, that's linked to my username. It's not linked to a particular phone number or device. Do you think that you'll probably see that happening with phones where the number's less and less important in that case? And then something like WhatsApp will be able to work on any device?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at iCloud accounts, they can work with a phone number and an email address. So you don't necessarily – I don't even think you have to have a phone number. No, you don't.
No idea.
Yeah, of course not. So, yeah, I think WhatsApp's just kind of, that's the model that they had and it served them well, but it maybe it's getting outdated.
If I'm shopping for a phone plan, I don't even look at the amount of calls and the call rates anymore. I look at how much data I have.
Yeah, totally.
Because I very, very rarely use phones. Mm. I don't even use them to speak with my parents anymore and they're stuck in the Stone Ages.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you talk to them?
Sorry? Skype.
Smoke signals.
Smoke signals, yeah. I send them a letter via correspondence.
I'm going through the process. I'm just going off track. This is my patented derailing.
This is what you do.
Just speaking of letters, I'm going through the process of scanning all the family photos right now, and we'll save that for another podcast. But there was a box of letters, and I was reading one that my mum sent to my dad, and she's like, I won't bother telling you about my trip because I'll be back before you get this letter. So... I don't know. Okay, bye. It was just like that used to happen. That's how people communicated.
It still happens with postcards.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever got a postcard when someone's been away. It's always when they come back.
Yeah, exactly. Alex G got back from Japan before his postcard got back from Japan.
And Eitan.
And Eitan as well, yeah.
I just bought the postcards and put them in my suitcase. And then was like, hey, just having a great time here in the office.
What do you guys think will happen with the watch? In this multi-screen
game and watch
experience. What do we do with our watch while we're watching TV?
So the watch is the second screen to the phone. The watch is the second screen to the phone, which is the second screen to the TV. So it's a third screen.
Yeah.
Or fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
N screens as N trends towards infinity. There's an efficiency ratio. I think...
Spot the developer.
Spot the developer.
There it is.
I do lots of interviews. I think the watch is going to be really, really... just. It's going to be that call out to then go and look at a tablet or a phone.
I would be home. I would take the watch off and I'd be... like if I'm on the couch in that sort of scenario... I would have a tablet, I think.
But what if you need to know the time? Check. I was trying to not take the watch off at all when I had it for that short amount of time. And there you go. Pete needs to know the time. I'm showing him. So
it'd be handy if he had a watch.
Yeah, I know, right?
One.
Yeah, he took it off because he's sitting down. That's what Pete does.
My Pebble's in my drawer at home. It's flat.
Is it really?
Oh. I forgot to charge it.
Poor Pebble. I saw a Pebble here. I wanted to wear it. I couldn't find the charger.
I could use you, but I'd have to charge.
Oh,
Just stop the podcast in its tracks.
That's it.
That's what I do best.
Did anyone else have anything they wanted to add to this conversation? I think we've talked it pretty much out. Yeah. We're all just looking at our second screens now.
We're all distracted.
Ooh.
Okay, so moving on. Shiny. Keith had a brilliant topic for our next section.
Build it up. Get ready for it. Yeah, I sat down and I've had 24 hours to think about this and I was like, do you guys cook? And everyone was like, yeah, we cook. Yeah. Yeah. And I said,
What?
What cooking?
Food.
Apps? Yeah, food.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like second kitchen. So what cooking apps do you guys use for cooking? Because I can't remember.
I would say good effect. Not great.
To effect.
I have the Gordon Ramsay iPad app.
Does it just swear at you?
It does, actually. It's kind of random when you scroll through each steps and he's like, you can't afford not to get this right.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God.
This has to be picture perfect.
This is branding in a totally new way.
Yeah.
Oh, I want
you
this.
You burned the water.
So are we going to get Jeremy Clarkson telling you how to drive next?
Oh, that'd be good.
Drift around this corner in the world.
Yeah. Drop the back out like a wet possum. Does he sound like that? That sounds more like Optimus Prime. Yeah. Yeah, but it was good. I really like it because I like the videos because I have no idea how to cook.
I didn't even know there was a Gordon Ramsay app.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I'm just taking
It's horrible looking. The content's okay. The videos are all right.
Yeah.
But it's a really odd UI, the way they've put it together. It's sort of like here are all the recipes and you can sort of filter them, but it's like a big canvas that you can sort of navigate around. Reminds me of an old Flash website.
Ooh.
It's kind of weird, but it works.
It does the job, and then it swears at you and it makes up for it.
But yeah, I'm really good at cooking
toast,
fluffy scrambled eggs now.
Yeah, I did watch a video to learn that.
And Jamie taught me how to, I'm a breakfast guy, taught me how to do perfect poached eggs.
Ooh.
So yeah, thank you, apps.
Yeah, pucker.
But yeah, the other night, because I have no idea how to cook. Because, yeah, I don't do it. And I'm just learning how to do it now. So, and I bought like chicken breast and was like, how do I do the chicken thing where it's, you know, like crumbed and stuff like that? And yeah, because you have to cook chicken because it can be deadly.
Yeah, yeah. I tried eating that raw.
And then I just watched like the start of one of the recipes and it's like had all the steps and I did it. Empowered user.
It's like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Yes!
The kitchen's on fire. I did actually break the oven.
Just like
I literally think it broke the oven. That's the last time our oven worked. But hopefully it'll be fixed by the time my
Gordon Ramsay
landlord.
You broke the effing oven.
Yeah, you're up.
Well, I don't. I'm not a great cook. In fact, just even making breakfast this morning, I managed to set the fire alarm off, which is pretty impressive. Ooh. For cereal.
It's very good.
I set it off a lot. Sadly, my housemate's very tolerant of such things. But listening to Pete talk around that, I probably will try that out because I've been trying to make good poached eggs for ages and I failed miserably. So I might have to chat later about what app you use for that.
Yeah.
It's such a Melbourne thing, poached eggs. If you go get breakfast in Melbourne, which is what I do all the time because I love going out for breakfast, I think I'm in the right place.
Mm.
Place you go to, poached eggs. It's so
they're
weird.
The best.
Yeah.
It's just we just poach all the eggs here. I don't get it.
It's because
how else are you going to have them?
The
over
are
easy,
wide
like a slob,
upside down.
We can poach eggs here.
Yeah, yeah, perfectly.
Actually, that's
to
true.
Perfection.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ever cut open a poached egg and it like doesn't run out? You're like, this is bush league.
Disappointment.
I just walked out of the restaurant.
Flip the table.
Unlike you guys, I cook a lot. Like my whole household cooks a lot, and we love cooking. And what we do, we don't use a specific app, but what's really funny is when we haven't decided what we want to cook yet, we all pull out our smartphones and I also have an iPad and my sister has an iPad too. And then we look up all different recipes of the same thing and then we put them around the kitchen so that it's like, I'm going to take this bit from this recipe and that bit from that recipe. And then I'll have access at different points in the kitchen as well. Because it's really annoying when you have to, like, go to the stove and then you're like, oh, I've forgotten what they said I needed or how much of that
I needed. Your screen's locked and you've got to unlock it again with your keypad.
Yeah, if so you had we the have watch, a multi-screen kitchen experience in our house. It's also competitive. It's like, well, I found the best recipe. It's like, no, my recipe is better.
That's interesting.
Alex Bird's going to die. He's trying not to. We have two producers today. One of them is dying right now.
What about you, Keith?
I loved it, really. So my cooking experience, it's incredibly distracting. I am a terrible cook. When my wife first met me, I could cook water. Uh-huh. Yeah, and toast. Well done. And I didn't even know how to cook pasta. I was that bad. And I'll own up to it. But my wife's a food blogger. So, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's a rhubarb rhapsody.
Why did she choose you?
Maybe it's the opposites attract. She's like, I can cook very well. You suck at cooking.
I'm going to fix this man.
Yeah, Nope. I'm much better than I was before. But I generally don't have a specific app because I'm too picky with apps. If I had that Gordon Ramsay app experience where it was kind of like a weird Flash website, apart from when it was swearing at me and I was amused by that, I would probably get really upset with it because it didn't work right, because I know how apps are meant to work now. That's a thing I know. But yeah, I just use Google Drive, and we store recipes on Google Drive, and so we can just go back to them, and they've had the adjustments that we've done are still in there.
That's
things
smart.
Like that. Yeah.
Technology.
Exactly.
I saw Alex Johnson's talk at Yao Connected. And he is one of the co-founders behind the Cook app, which is an interesting Melbourne Aussie app. I think the guys at Simplicit as well are involved in that. And they actually wrote a book about it, which I can't recall. But that's a really interesting concept because it's about recipe creation and curation. So if you have your grandmother's, you know, apple pie recipe, you can create your own cookbook and put in your own photography and then share that with the world. And it's sort of a really beautiful and engaging
social.
Yeah, it's a social, social they call cooking. It the world's yeah. cookbook. And it's just kind of, it's an interesting take on that problem because it's sort of, it's social, but it's trying to make it look nice and it's not just a website.
Yeah.
But I don't think it works for me because I need videos. Because I don't like when people are like, there was instructions, it's like, season the flour. I was like, oh my God, what season? Autumn?
Yeah.
And then
spring the flour? What?
My housemates, you just put like salt and stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, very, very basic fundamental cooking things that I'm not aware of. So unless someone's there going, do this. I'm
yeah.
like, okay.
If there's an ingredient in the step that has had something done to it, it's not just I've pulled it out of the cupboard or the fridge, I'll miss it because I'll go through ingredients, put everything together and it'll be cooked pasta and I won't realize until I need the pasta and I go, but this pasta's not cooked yet.
And
I look at the rest of the ingredients, cooked pasta. Like, we don't have cooked pasta. We only have raw. You didn't tell me in the steps to
what
cook
is this,
the
magic pasta.
Yeah, I did a cooking for dumbasses.
Yeah.
And my wife does that for me as well. She just cooked the pasta.
Pretty good. Yeah. If I can do it.
Yeah. If I can do it.
Come on.
Exactly. No, I'm going to try that if there's an Android version. We don't have iPads in the house. Cool. All right. Well, I think that's a show, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for coming in. Thank you, our two producers. And special thanks to Rob on his first show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Since it's your first show, Hazing, what's our Twitter address?
Oh, pressure.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm a fan of the show and listen to all of them. So I'm gonna have a wild stab in the dark.
I can see you stalling. Ah, very good.
That's WARE. Not yeah. Outwear, which Where? Is Rob's personal outwear apparel line.
Out where? I'm out there. Cool. Join us next time, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.